Hello, this is Nightlord, and you're listening to TWAT Radio, Episode 49, RPG Programming. Okay, today I'm going to talk about something that I'm very familiar with that other people may not be familiar with, and that is RPG programming for the IBM AS400 iSeries, whatever you want to call it, mid-range server. Now, to give you a little bit of background of what this AS400 is, it's an operating system and a mid-range server that IBM owns, produces, and it's been around for quite a few years and has went through some dramatic changes over those years. And RPG is the native programming language, high-level language of the system. The AS400 can support multiple languages as far as coding is concerned. A few of the other ones are C, COBOL, Java, another proprietary language called CL, and the AS400 is a pretty nice system. You can set up multiple partitions on multiple disks, and it even runs Linux natively. So it's quite a nice system, and it's one secure mofo, so it's really nice to use. But the problem is that they're super expensive, and up until recently, they have been green screen, you know, terminal type of stuff. They use 5250 emulation, and they just weren't, you know, very pretty to look at. So a lot of markets switched over to, of course, a Windows solution or a Linux solution. But now that the AS400 runs Linux natively, you can get the security and the functionality that you would of the AS400, as in the hardware and the way everything works inside of it, but you get a pretty little GUI with Linux, and you can use terminal emulation services and stuff. You can also get add-on cards for, you know, that slide right into the back of the system that allow you to run Windows Server operating system on it as well. The standard operating system that comes with it is the OS400, or now the new version is called the i5 OS, and it's still green screen when you operate it, but software can be written in a GUI format and in a web-based format, and that's where Java comes in. But there is still a large market out there for RPG, which is the native language, proprietary language. RPG can only be written on the IBM AS400. True RPG language. There has been a couple ports to PC-type languages that use RPG-like syntax to create applications, but the closest thing to PC applications with native, you know, real AS400 is just the development environment. IBM ships a environment called a WebSphere development client, which is an all GUI Windows based IDE for RPG, COBOL, and all the other languages that run off the AS400. And what the great thing about that software is, although it's incredibly huge and takes a lot of resources to operate, if you have the stock developer, which comes on the AS400, which you would if you have a programmer in your shop, you automatically get this for free. So it's actually a really nice deal. But the standard way of writing RPG code on the AS400 is using a package called PDM, which stands for Program Development Manager. And you go in there and you write code in a green screen format. And the cool thing about RPG, I guess you could say it's cool. I think it's kind of cool. But a lot of people that are used to other languages might not think so, is that it's a column-based language, which means every command has to fall in a certain place so the compiler knows where or what it does. Now, why this is cool is because it's column-based, the compiler doesn't have to interpret the commands. It knows right off the bat if it's where it's supposed to be and things like that when you use the fixed format or the columned form. So it compiles a lot faster and ultimately it runs a lot faster. But you can also do free format, it's called, which is just like anything else, any other language. You just write your commands and write your code and everything, and you follow each line with a semicolon to say that that's the end of your statement, and so on. One of the interesting things about RPG is that there are specifications that fall within each program, and they're called, well, they're denominated by the letter. They're usually referred to by their letter. They're F specs, D specs, I specs, C specs, O specs. There's also H and a few other types that are very rarely used anymore. And they fall in a nice sequence that's easy to remember, and it's FDICO. And I always remember FDIC because I think of FDIC from the banking industry, you know, the banking insurance. And then O always just comes last, and you can always remember that. And O stands for output. So the H, if you use H, H comes first, but you don't have to use H. What H does is allow you to set certain compile commands in the program so you don't have to write them in the compiler every time you recompile the program, but I'll get there later. So what you first have to do is you have to set your files, your input, output, update, screen files, all that stuff. You have to state that first, and that has to be in column format. And then after you state your files, there's a few codes that you use depending on whether it's an input or an output file, whether it's externally described or internally described, which I'll explain in a few minutes, and where the file comes from. So if it comes from the disk, or if it's an output file, if it goes straight to your printer, or if it's a display file and it goes to your workstation, that's all set right there. And then the next spec is the D spec, which stands for declaration spec, and this is where you declare all your variables. Now, this is really easy to do. It also has to be column-based, so you declare everything, all your variables, counters, everything. It uses all the standard types of variables, character, string, numeric, packed decimal, zone decimal. It also uses Boolean functions, you know, true, false. Well, actually, it's on or off or 0, 1, a few other types of things like data structures and things like that, which are basically a basic data structure. Say you have a date, and your date is in ISO format, so you have year, month, day, and you want to separate the year, the month, and the day into three individual variables. Well, all you have to do is state the variable, the initial variable that is the date, and then you create a data structure stating, okay, so we have we'll just say ISO is the name of the variable. Now, right underneath that, you have year. So you put year, and the year section of that variable goes from the point 0 to 3. So 0, 1, 2, 3. So you set it, your end position, which is right on the compiler, or right on the interface, you set the end position to 3. And, from 1 to 3. Because 1, 2, 3, well, 1 to 4. You set it from 1 to 4, and then you go on to the next line. So the next line, 5 and 6, is your month characters. So you set, you know, your variable month, and you set start and end 5 to 6. And then the same thing with day. And that allows you to, once you start writing your actual calculations, you can just say year, month, or day. You don't have to extract the information or whatever. And it also makes it easier to manage new dates and things like that once you get into the actual calculation. So after the D specs, you have the I specs. Now, what the I specs are used for is there's two different types of files that you can have. Well, actually, there's three, but in this instance, we'll just talk about two. Input file and output file. And there's within those two types, there's also two more types, which is fixed or external. Now, what external means is it uses the definition of the file from within the file, which is what you're going to want to do most of the time. If you have a file that's already laid out the way you want it, you just, you know, designate it as an external file, and then in the device setting you put disk. And that's all there is to it. It reads each field and it knows what records are where, so when you're writing your calculations you don't have to worry about it. Now when you do an input file, what an input file is, or not an input, but a fixed file, what a fixed file is good for is when you have files of raw data. So there's no formatting in it at all. It's just multiple records with just, you know, data in it. And there's some kind of method to the madness, but there isn't, I mean, it's just raw output. So what the input specs let you do is to structure that data by defining it. Just like you would define the file externally, you just define it internally. So this is the section where you write what fields start and end where, what type of data it is, because you can set data types and things like that in there, and then you can manage the data easier when you get into your calculations. So the next thing that we do is the calculation specs. Now this is where the meat of all of this is in the calculation specs. And it would be extremely difficult to describe the calculation specs as much as I probably could, but I will go into it a little bit. Within the calculation specs, like I said earlier, there's two different types. You have fixed format and free format. You can use the free format, but there are some commands that you are not allowed to use free format in. So the interesting stuff to me is within the fixed format, so I'm going to concentrate on that mostly. Once you're in the fixed format, there are multiple types of calculation specifications that you can use for prompting. What prompting means is you hit F4 on a line and it gives you the type of prompt, say your calculation, so your prompt is C, and it gives you the column settings for each space, for whatever has to go there. And that's the same way with every single specification that's in this program. You don't have to just know what, you know, goes where. It'll give you a little map. It'll give you the order. You just have to understand which one means what. So when you prompt, you for each specification, there's at least one prompt, and in some of them there's multiple prompts. And calculations happen to be one of them. They have three prompts. They have C, CX, and there's another one, but I can't remember it right off the top of my head. But I know I never use that one. But C is the standard one, and that includes all of the fields or all of the columns that you have available within that code. Now RPG now is it's RPG for ILE. That is the actual programming language name, and it's just shortened to RPG. But RPG has went in a dramatic change, but it's still been coded the same way pretty much. So the C spec or the C prompt is kind of reminiscent of the old style of coding where you have to use everything available. Now, more modern applications use the CX prompt, which is a lot more simplified because the programming commands have, you know, became more powerful, so you don't have to write so much or state so much as far as nitty-gritty details. The compiler actually understands. I'll give you an example. Before, in like RPG-3, for instance, there's four columns. There's a factor 1, an operation, a factor 2, and a result. Now, in RPG-3, you had to put in factor 1 one of the fields that you wanted. In the operation, you would put, like, add. In factor 2, you would set the next thing that you wanted to add to factor 1, and then in result, you would put the variable in which you want the result in. Now, that's a long roundabout way of getting to the point. Now, all you use is operation and factor 2. Operation, you type in eval, E-V-A-L, and then you type in factor 2, variable 1 plus variable 2, and that's it. Or variable 1 equals variable 1 plus variable 2. I mean, that's just like, you know, normal languages are nowadays. And that's the way it is for all the commands, pretty much. Now, there's a few commands, very powerful commands, that require you to use the factor 1, which is the section that's been moved out the most. And there's an operation called a chain. And what that allows you to do is open up another file on top of the file that you are currently using. So you read a record, and you want to test that data against another field in another file, and then pull a little bit of data from that. So you use a command called chain, which allows you to pick a certain field and compare it to another field within another file. And then if it's a match, you can do calculations on both files and all their fields. So that's a pretty powerful command that is used a lot. And another command that I can think of right off the bat is one called set lower limits, which allows you to reset the pointer for the file. Because the way reading and writing operates in RPG is you execute one command to read a file. Read an operation and then the file name and factor 2. That's all there is to it. And it reads that record, the next record. And then usually the structure is read, do while, not end of file, or do until end of file. And then you do right before the end do, you do another read. So that sets you to the next record, and then you continue the loop from the top. And you just keep going through, and that allows you to read the last record, you know, process all your stuff, read the last record, and then set off the end of file keyword before it reaches the test at the very top. So that kind of makes it nice and clean. So if you have to break out of a program, it doesn't cause a whole lot of problems. So that's how you read the file. But sometimes you need to go back to the top of the file and read it again. Because if you have multiple data structures, for instance, that read the same file but process it differently, and you read through the whole file at a time when the things run, because it might be a small file, well, you want to reset it to the very top of the file. So there's a command called set lower limits, which allows you to set the pointer to the spot right above the spot that you state. So you can use, just like the chain command, you can use a specific field and then give it a test, you know, test data, and then it will set the pointer to the, you know, right above the topmost field that you selected with that test data. Or you can also use a keyword called low val or high val. Low val takes you to the, it's kind of complicated or kind of confusing, but it takes you to the highest point of the file, which is the beginning, and then it sets you right above that. So you are at the absolute top of that file by using the low val command. The high val does the absolute opposite. It sets it to the very end of the file, so that's a command that you can use to break out of loops or whatever if you need to for emergency situations or whatever. So that's another command. And then another one that I can think of is the move command. And the move command is used a lot still, and it's actually kind of an old way of doing an eval. But what it allows you to do is put other data types inside another. So you can put characters or numerics and characters, and characters and dates and numbers and dates and things like that. The only thing that doesn't transfer is characters to numbers. That's the only one you can't do. But everything else you can pretty much do. And the move, what it does is it allows you to move larger fields into smaller ones or smaller ones into larger ones. But it takes from the rightmost character over and then it overlaps it. So if you put, say, it allows you to splice or concatenate things together too. So you can, you know, if you have data in the far right hand side or the far left hand side of the field, you can throw data on the far right with the move command, and then they'll concatenate like that. There's also the brother or sister command to move, which is move left, which moves the opposite side. So that's a few of the more powerful commands that are used with the old style C spec. Everything else is pretty much done with the CX spec. And RPG is actually really easy to use as far as commands go, because like I said earlier, the read command is just read. That's all there is to it. The print command is accept. And that's kind of a funny, I mean, you can do print, but That's the old way of doing it. Now the way to do it is accept. And I'll explain this accept a little later when we get to output. But to print is just accept. To chain to another file is just chain. I mean, you know, you got to throw in a couple little things, but that's barely anything. And to write to a file, it's just write. To update a file, it's just update. The way the files are read are sequential. I mean, it's, you know, you read the first line, period. I mean, there's no multiple lines in the file. The way the files are laid out, they're, you know, they're record-based. So there's, you know, 50 records in it, and that means there's 50 lines of data, and each one is defined in a little field. So it's really easy to manage the data that way. And when you read, I mean, when you read, you know what you're reading. You're getting the next record. So it's easy to structure your program, and you don't have to worry about huge blocks of code just to read a file and output the data. So that's nice. And to, like, display a screen, it's just execute format, which is EXFMT, and then the screen name, and then it throws the screen up on the monitor. So that's really easy. But, you know, most of it is really, really easy. And if you already know some programming, it's really common types of commands like do, if, for, you know, things like that. I mean, it's all really close. And especially now with the ILE, which stands for Integrated Language Environment, which allows it to work with the other types of languages that are within the AS400 and to work together seamlessly so they operate seamlessly. But with the ILE came the modular functionality of RPG and a new era, I guess, of RPG, which now more modern applications very closely resemble Java or C++ or even like C# or Visual Basic, because it's become more object-oriented and modularized and with functions and sub-procedures and external calls to other programs and things like that. I mean, it's just gotten so much more complicated than it used to be. Originally, when this language was written, it was just to give people a way to write reports. Now this language is far more than reports. It is a language. The only thing that it misses is a GUI, but you can even sort of make a GUI on the green screen because you're allowed to. I mean, you can make screens, you can make menus. You know, they input data and everything, and then you process it, and you can output it in a certain format. You can do, you know, multiple windows within the green screen. But, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff you can do on it. And also, it's, you know, the backbone for every single web application that is run on the AS400 as of right now. Most of them, the backbone is RPG, just because it is so easy to write with the data format that is set in AS400. So the next spec, I guess, that we'll get into before we cut this off is the output spec. And with the output spec, you can use it for two things. One, you can use it to set up your reports. And what it does is each line consists of multiple lines, I'll say. At the beginning of one line on your report, you set your output header, which is just the simple O spec for the prompt. And then after you state the line and the name and the exception name, because like I said up at the top, or, you know, a little earlier, when you state what you want to print a line, you do accept whatever that exception name is. So here's where you state your exception name. So usually the standard way of doing it is to accept headers first. So you can name it head, you can name it heads, you can name it headers, you can name it whatever you want, just as long as it's something easy to remember. So we'll say the first line is going to be your first line of the headers, which is usually, you know, the date, the company or the, you know, report title, and then a page number or something like that. So after you state what line it is and where it falls, because you can state, it's either called a skip line, which is saying the exact line, I want this to print on one exactly. And that's the skip line. And then there's a space line, which says, okay, before the next line is printed, I want to print two lines before or two lines after this line. So that's used more for the detail, which I'll go into in a minute. Now, after you state the line, so we're going to do line one. After you state the line, right underneath that, you use the P spec prompt to put in each individual field. So you would put in your time and your date, or, you know, just your date or whatever, and your titles and your page number and everything. And there's individual commands for all that, and I'm not going to go through that right now. But basically, you state the end point that that's going to fall on. If it's a literal, you type in the literal and the literal value space that it gives you. And if it's a field, then you type the field name in the field name position, and that's all there is to it. And you just go through it until you're done with that line, and then you start the next line. And then the next line, you have to, redo the top portion that says that, it's a header, and then say it's on line two, and then right underneath that, you do the same thing for your line two. So that sets the headers. So usually you accept the headers first thing, and that way they're there, and then you accept the detail through your loop. Now, what your detail usually you do, it's the same thing as the headers. You do all your character literals the same way, all the variables the same way, the fields, everything is the same. But instead of using skip, you usually use space. So instead of skipping to line four or whatever, you use space, two lines or one line before or after. So they print, one right after the other. And then every time you go through your loop, it prints another line of detail, another line of detail, and you just format it as according to your headers that you stated up at the top. So, that's all there is to that. And then the other way to use the output spec is to write to files, because you can actually, instead of using an accept, because usually you either have a print file or you can use the standard qprint output file, which is the system output file, and that automatically goes to whatever printer your device is attached to. So instead of stating like qprint for your output file up in the fspec, you would just state your output file, whether you have a file, that had whatever data, that you just state it right there. And instead of doing like a U for update, you do O for output and state it, just define it just like you would any other printer file. And then when you do your accept, you just put the fields in there that you want added to the file. And then when it accepts it, it writes it out to the file. So this is an instance where you wouldn't use headers. This is like a detail only. And you don't have to do spaces or skips. You just state the file and state the records or state the fields within the record. And then every time it hits the accept, it writes it out to the file. And that's all there is to that. So that's basically RPG in a nutshell. There's a lot more to be learned about it. I mean, a ton more. But the problem with most people, they hear about the language and they like to see it, but it's really hard to get a hold of an AS400 to, play with it. So, I've been thinking about buying one myself, and they're really expensive, but you can find them off of eBay for not too much money. I've seen them for go as little as $150, plus, $60 in shipping. But still, I mean, when you're talking about a $25,000 system, at the time it was purchased to $150, now that it's totally operational and you can use AS400, and learn to code an RPG and do all that stuff right on the machine, it doesn't seem like that bad of a deal. So I do know a couple of people that have them. DOSMan from the Packet Sniffers, he actually has one, and I'm trying to talk him into bringing it to Nauticon. So if any of you are going to Nauticon and he happens to bring it, I am probably going to do a live demo of some RPG programming, just because I can. So, if you know DOSMan, tell DOSMan to bring his 400 so you can see some cool shit. But, just look around. I know that there are some places out there that give online shells for AS400s. I don't know any of them by name because I use one every day at work, so I really have no need to go out and find one. But I know there is some out there, so I'm sure if you just Google, remember Google is your friend. So if you just Google for online AS400 shells or something like that, you can probably find something out there that you can log in and just at least check out the system or whatever. There's a lot of great books out there for RPG code, and there's quite a few RPG programmers out there that you may not know of. But the AS400 is a really cool system. It's kind of obscure, not a lot of people know about it, but it's a fun system, and it's fun to work with. And RPG is a nice language. I wish I could traverse it into PC work, because I think I would just be able to code some bomb-ass shit on a PC if I could. But, my knowledge is limited to about Visual Basic and, a little bit of C#, a little bit of C++, a little bit of Java, a little bit of Python, but nothing as compared to my knowledge on RPG. So, if anybody knows of an RPG port out there that they've heard is really good, give me a buzz. I can be contacted at Nightlord, KN1GHTL0RD@hotmail.com. So if you know of any information about RPG or you just want to chat about it, you know, send me an email. I'll be glad to talk to you about it. Also, you can jump into the Pound Infonomicon channel on freenode.net, and I'm in there pretty much every day, and we're all a bunch of cool cats, so you can come in there and hang out, and if you want to talk to me about it then, you can. So hopefully this has been a little interesting and give you something a little different to think about, talk about, look up. You know, if you have any questions, comments, whatever, you can give me a buzz. Other than that, this has been Twat Radio, and thanks for listening, and keep downloading shows. Twat Radio is a community project that takes people like you and me to come up with this kind of content. So get your ass out there and talk to Droops and tell them you want to do a twat and record one and send it in. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a half an hour. It can be 5 minutes. It can be whatever. So, you know, get something that you want to do and get out there and do it, because the more people there are, the less people, you know, that have to make a show every day, the more content we're going to get, the more variation of things that are going to be out there to listen to. So remember that, and I better hear you start clicking real soon.
What's going on?
Bam, bam.